CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. And, you know, once again, realizing that, well, the King is coming. And I believe that as the Lord takes his church home, the world will get what they always wanted, a world without God. But, you know, the Bible says it's not a fit place to live. And if the tribulation period went on any longer than 7 years, mankind would have completely wiped out himself from this planet. No, we're not on the dawning of the age of Aquarius, my friends. We're on the very brink of man's futile efforts to govern himself. You know, the Bible says after that, Jesus is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years in a perfect environment, perfect food, perfect everything. And it's amazing, in all of that, for 1,000 years, people will still rebel against God. You know, the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And I believe this is why it says that, because even in a perfect environment, man will still rebel against God. It's amazing. How does this happen? Well, again, that heart is pretty hard. Only God can change it. And that's why Jesus said to a religious leader of the day, high-ranking religious leader in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You see, we have to have God's heart born into us. And when that happens, hey, good news, everything changes. And so I pray that today you'll be brought closer to the Lord. That's why we do this. Been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, someone's asked you a question, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. It's toll free, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that we have with us. We have John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente. And hi and welcome, John.
Mike, good to be back with you today in the CSN family. And just want to say to all our family and our friends out there on the broadcast, Mike, there may be some people who have been suffering in light of these fires, all our stations in California.
Oh, yes, yes.
Boy, we just need a lot of prayer, a lot of hurting people. Man, so many texts, so many messages we've been getting, people in the LA area and Altadena and Pasadena, they need our prayers, Mike. And boy, we just need to be praying for California right now.
Yeah. And especially, you know, the areas not yet affected, like the Whittier Hills, of course, and up all the canyon areas there, because it's all so dry. And then my understanding is your governor tore out all these dams where the water could been used to put out the fires, because they said, the fire department said, as I watched one of the news broadcasts last night, said they're running out of water to put out the fires because they tore out these dams because of some little smelt fish that's found in other rivers and lakes in California. But they tore out these four to be so green. Now it's really unfortunate that so many people are losing their lives and their homes because of poor planning. People can be green, but they can be dumb as well. And so we've got to be careful of that. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And again, you know, John, with all the things going on down there, how's the air quality out by you? You're probably a little farther south, so you probably, has the winds died down as well?
Well, you know, they've died down a little bit, but they're still going. I mean, there's nearly 2,000 homes and buildings that have been destroyed, nearly 400,000 something homes and businesses without power. And as the fire continues, I don't know that they have it contained, but you're right. The governor, incompetent leadership has led us to this point. Of course, the LA mayor taking away so much of the funding for fire. And it's just, a lot of this can be laid at the feet of the governor's mansion, if you would. And it's unfortunate, but bad leadership produces these things. So we just need to be praying. The winds have died down, but a lot of ash, you know, even the air quality, certainly further north of us is really bad. But it's definitely, as far away as it is, it still travels this way with the wind blowing. So we're just praying that it goes down at the firefighters and all the responders are able to actually get there when they don't have water in the fire hydrants because of a lack of water. It's unbelievable, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, John, you're there. Why don't we just lift up a prayer for especially the first responders, the firefighters, for their protection as well as those who are in harm's way. Why don't we just pray for them right now? Why don't you lead us?
Yeah, thank you. Lord, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up those who are listening right now. Perhaps, Lord, they've lost homes. Friends, Lord, Lord, we don't know all the details and how far this goes, but Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would calm the winds, Lord, that you'd protect the responders, God, they'd have enough water to put these fires out. Lord, just, Lord, please, we ask this for your mercy, God, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, it's, again, it's very, very troubling to see, and you know, very, very, very similar to the Lahaina fire on right. Maui. These high winds, 60 mile an hour winds. The power poles then fell across the road, blocked the highways. People couldn't get out. This is why so many people died in the Lahaina fire. They burned up right in their cars because they couldn't leave. And then others, you know, they'd open the door to go outside. They'd feel the 110 degree hot wind blowing and they go back in their house where it was cooler, not realizing the fire was going to come that way and burn them up. And it's very, very serious when we look at it. And I think not only Lahaina, but also what's going on in California right now, as well as back east, they've had some serious fires. Probably have to look at maybe reassessing the way we're going to fight fires in the future. And certainly, you know, the ecologists saying, oh, humans need to stay out of the forest and keep it all natural. Well, they didn't put the fire breaks in like they used to do. And so it just keeps going. The fire breaks were called a fire break for a reason. And so much to pray about, much to, again, pray for all of those who are affected by this, such a hard thing to do. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones again, 8888, ask CSN if you want to be part of the program. We have Jeanette on the line in North Dakota. Hi, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. I am calling with a situation I would like some advice on how to handle with an adult child. I have had some concerns with choices that an adult child has been making in the past between relationships, just general decisions that are poor, and kind of listens but doesn't follow any advice and continues in that pattern. She can't recognize it. And I believe she's a born again Christian. I led her in the prayer as a small child and was part of, you know, our church, and then got involved in a couple of toxic relationships, had children out of wedlock, married one of them, unfortunately, divorced, and it seems to be rather bitter now, blaming everybody except herself, and doesn't want to hear any judgy things from the Bible. To visit with her about choices. I'm concerned about some exposure to some demons activity in the past that I think was gotten rid of with our pastor at the church and others who came in and removed it. But I'm concerned that she's opening doors with music that she's listening to that's not very Christian-like anymore. dressing inappropriately, doesn't care, those kinds of things, and has recently gotten now involved moving into modeling, and says that it's not like it used to be, kind of exposure, and she can choose how much she wants to show or not.
So kind of like soft pornography or something.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
It, first of all, we definitely want to pray for her before we get off here. She knows the Lord. She's in rebellion to God, making continuously bad decisions. And this is always going to be a problem because you leave God out of your life, you go farther and farther down the wrong road. And, you know, the Bible says those to know to do good and doeth it not, to them it is sin. The Bible talks about, in the book of James chapter 4, about relationships with the world. In fact, James says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Now, he's not talking so much about a sexual relationship as he is talking about bringing the ideas, thoughts, and culture of the world into our Christian experience. And that sounds like what your daughter has done. Now, James got some very strong words concerning this. And again, James chapter 4, you might want to look at that towards the middle to the last part of the chapter. Because there you find where God lays out, if you're going to have a happy life, what you need to do. And I really think it's amazing how the devil blinds people, that you keep rebelling against God, you keep going farther and farther away from anything that brings any lasting joy in your life, and they continue to do the same things. You know, it's kind of what they say, the wisdom of a fool, to keep doing the same things and expecting a different result. Well, she's looking for happiness, but you keep doing the wrong things and it keeps you on the wrong path. Your thoughts?
You know, I was just thinking, you know, Jeanette, a couple of things that I would do in that situation. If you have a prodigal son or prodigal daughter, in this case, I would never underestimate the power of prayer. I think
Amen.
The power in intercession and bringing her before the throne and trusting that, you know, God has ways of getting the attention of our children, even when they won't listen to us. Sometimes the way that he does it can be painful, the chastening of the Lord, but it produces hopefully repentance. Not only would I continue to intercede on her behalf, but if given the opportunity, I might point her to the scriptures, some that stand out specifically. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkenness, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, Paul makes this clear. Hey, listen, if you're living this way and practicing that life, don't be deceived. What you're sowing right now, you're going to reap. God has so much more for your daughter. So I would do my best. There comes a point, the prodigal story of the son that ran from his father. I mean, there was only so much he could do. And eventually he ended up in the pig pen and came to his senses and returned. And I think that's what we pray for. I think about Mike when, Paul said to those who were assuming they were Christians, but they were living sexually immoral lives. He said, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And I think sometimes that's what we do. Lord, I turn them over to you. Get their attention, whatever it takes, God. And that's what I would encourage you to do, Jeanette.
Yeah, because again, she knows what's right. But I don't think you talking to her is a bad thing. I think you need to do that. And certainly praying for her, mm-hmm. that God opens her eyes, binds Satan from her consciousness to see that she's on the wrong road. But the Bible talks about the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and she's blind. And she thinks that she's going to find happiness outside of Christ Jesus. You know, I don't think there's anything more unhappy than a backslidden Christian, because of this reason. You know the world is a lie, yet you're trying to live in it. And you're not happy in Jesus because you're selfish and you won't fully turn your life over to him. God will always do more with us than we would ever be able to do in ourselves and have an eternal reward versus, on the other hand, an idea that we're going to, in some way, find fulfillment, joy, and everlasting satisfaction away from God, going the wrong way. So can we pray for her right now, Jeanette?
Yes, and I first I want to thank you so much for the recommendations, and I have done those things. Mm-hmm. I've spoken with her. She knows much of the scripture because I raised them in the Word, mm-hmm. and that's what's so heartbreaking. Yeah. I also have a history. I was a prodigal, rebellious teenager for good reason, but when God used it, I'll just say that. And my children know some of that testimony. I have another older prodigal daughter that God brought her to her knees, literally, and brought her back from drug abuse. And she's 10 years sober, thank the Lord. Wow. And have another son who is being called to ministry. And it's creating another issue because as we talk to this child, she knows it. She says she is with God. She talks to him, and she's justifying it with excuses. And I'm wondering at what point do we, you say you're not supposed to eat with them or engage with them if they're not walking or they turn away. Is that I don't want to do that and alienate her and then create more of a problem.
No, I think as you look in the Bible, you'll see Jesus eating with the publicans and the sinners. And they actually rebuke Jesus, say, "Why are you eating with these?" And he said, "It's the sick ones who need the doctor." Mm-hmm. I believe when the Bible talks about this fellowshipping with people that are practicing sin, if you will, I believe that is not saying not to ever talk to them. I believe that, you don't enter into their festivities in what they're doing because it'll affect you as well. But I think that all the way through the Bible, we find people that were contrary to God, that God used the prophets, the disciples to reach out to people to bring them into a full relationship with him. But I think this idea of fellowship, fellowship does light have with darkness? Well, I really don't believe that is saying you don't ever talk to him, but it means that, this Friday night we're having a party and there's going to be some drinking and some stuff going on. I'll come over and hang out with you. I believe that's what that's talking about. Don't have that kind of relationship. On the other hand, to call somebody up and say, "Hey, let's go out to lunch. I want to talk to you about just some things going on in your life," or "How are you?" There's a difference between entering into somebody's sin, if you will, their lifestyle, versus just going to them and saying, "As a matter of fact, buddy, Jesus loves you." And I think there's a real problem because I think so many people in the church today have really left love out of their Christian experience. Because, see, love compels us to go to them. And oftentimes, the only kind of relationships Christians have with other people, if it is in, as an example, a party state or a buddyship thing, well, hey, this is my clan that I get with at church. And we don't move outside of that. And so anybody else that is having trouble in their Christian experience or even in sin, well, we don't want to have anything to do with them. And they use those verses as an excuse to negate their responsibility to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I think, the Bible says, "You who are spiritual, seek to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Galatians. And I think Jeanette is doing that. I just think I would continue to love her, Jeanette. I would see her as a non-believer. She's definitely living like a non-believer. It doesn't matter. Yes. Listen, a lot of people say I'm a Christian, but that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Your lifestyle, the way that you live, is evidence of whether or not you're walking with the Lord. Is she backslidden? Obviously she is. She's justifying sin. Well, you know this, and you have a testimony with your other children that we can't justify those things. And so you know what you're dealing with. So you pray, you keep loving, you keep looking for opportunity to show her the love of Jesus. You're not by engaging with her or having her over or your grandkids, if you have them or whatever, you're not condoning what she's doing. She certainly knows where you stand, but you're loving her and praying that God would open her eyes. And so, and we're going to do that with you also.
Why don't you pray for Jeanette, that she'll have the right words, and pray for her daughter that she'll understand she's on the wrong road.
Right.
And, you know, and I think there's another thing here, Jeanette, too, and for everybody listening, that is so important. Jesus said this. He said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. I tell people this, if it doesn't make any difference, in other words, hey, I'm saved, I can do what I want to do, you know, if I'm doing a little sin, it won't hurt anything. Well, why did Jesus then say, watch and be ready, you don't know what hour your Lord's going to come? In fact, all the way through, we find this compelling, considering the rapture, to watch and be ready. And, you know, if it doesn't matter, then Jesus was really lying then to the church, because, hey, once saved, always saved, party on, you know. No, that's not what the Bible says. And I believe even for Christians, this wonderful escape called the rapture, that I believe is not too far off. I believe it's very, very important that we understand that Jesus, now he's the authority, everyone, not me, not John, we're just messengers. He said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. If it doesn't matter, and I'm in the middle of a soft porn shoot, as an example, or, you know, well, we're just bonging a little bit, getting a little high, you know. I don't think that's watching and being ready. And I believe that maybe they still can repent and go to heaven. But according to what Jesus said, you might miss the rapture. Your thoughts, John? And then let's pray for her.
Yeah, Jeanette, we just want to pray for you and lift up your daughter. Father, we just come before you now. We just thank you for Jeanette and her heart for her daughter. And we thank you for the testimony, Lord, her own testimony of your faithfulness in her life.
Yes,
and to her son and to her daughter, Lord, who is celebrating a decade of sobriety. What a blessing. And Father, we know that as you've been faithful in Jeanette's life and her son and her daughter, that you're also going to be faithful to draw this one back. So, Lord, you leave the 99. You go after the one. So, good shepherd, we pray that even now you would use the rod and the staff, which are a comfort, to bring this one back into the fold. Bring her back into relationship with you. Let all of the things she's pursuing dry up, come to nothing. Lord, let her find her fulfillment and contentment only in relationship with Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you to do it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we'll be praying for you, Jeanette. If there's anything we can do, I'll send you some materials. I got a little book called Time to Grow. You might get this into your daughter's hands, okay?
Okay. I thank you so much. You all have helped me through many, many trials and given advice to so many people in God's word. So bless you all.
Well, blessings to you, Jeanette. And again, our heart is with you. And I'm sure many, many people listening right now have the same issue in their home as you do with wayward children or wayward parents. And we want to see them come into the fullness of God's love. So prayer changes things. And I believe this is praying in the agreement of God and the Holy Spirit, in that God wants to see, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. This is the heart of God, to see people repent. Now, you know, I mean, sometimes our prayers can be selfish. Well, you know, God, I'd sure like to have that new refrigerator. But I believe when it comes to the salvation of children, people being born again, the lost coming to Christ. I believe we can pray, and I believe God does amazing miracles to cause somebody. Now, sometimes, and the Bible says it's the goodness of God that causes a person to repent. It may be very much that the Lord may bless your daughter and admit. Sometimes, though, it's the other way. And only God really knows what's going to cause that person to repent. Sometimes they won't come to God until they realize he's all they have left. So we just want to see what God will do. Jeanette, stay online. We'll send you out the little book called Time to Grow, the movie Jesus, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecies. You might get that into her hand too, because she may be thinking, well, you know, I know I'm driving on the wrong side of the road, but you know, it's all, and you know, sometimes when you realize how late the game really is, how late this whole life really is, you know, man, maybe I better start living my life for God again. Stay in line, Jeanette. We'll get you taken care of. God bless you. And if you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Carlos in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much for answering the call. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to kind of try to phrase the question. If you don't understand me, let me know. But this is the point. I am born again believer. I do believe the whole Bible. And I do believe that we have to bless Israel and help as much as we can. But at the same time, this current situation, looking at the news and seeing how this war. Oh, by the way, I just want to make sure to state that I do not agree with Hamas doing this kind of things of October 7. I don't condone any kind of that kind of violence. But anyway, what I'm trying to ask is, in this kind of time, I understand that I also agree with Israel to have the right to defend itself, and being like the history that this Muslim people trying just to wipe them out, that's not good. So yeah, I understand we have the right to defend, and I agree. But
sure. Well, we're coming up on a break, Carlos, and we're going to pick this up with you on the other side of the break. Something everybody has to understand right now is Hamas has still not given back the hostages. In all of the warfare that's going on, they still haven't capitulated. That's part of the problem. Coming up on the break, we'll be right back right after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before January 15th and you use the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hey, everyone, welcome welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by St. Clemente. And I know he'd love to see you in church if you're out in the warm California sun. I think he'd love to see you over there. And again, as we started off the program, our hearts and prayers go out especially to all those right now in this terrible fires that are just ravaging LA County and all. And our prayers are with you and to all the firefighters for God's protection upon you. And wow, so much, John, going on there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's insane to see the images, the pictures of just thousands of homes, just, I mean, neighborhoods that are just, it looks apocalyptic, honestly. I mean, yeah, the things that have been burned up, it's unreal, and it doesn't seem real. It's so close to us, and yet it's, you know, 40, 50 minutes away, but we need to pray for them.
It was really funny watching the wind. They said two nights ago, the wind 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And so when you stop to think about that, you're going to have trouble outrunning that in a car. Unless you're going 100 miles an hour, you're not going to outrun it. And this is what took so many people in the Lahaina fire in Maui. You couldn't outrun the fire because it was driven by 60 mile an hour winds. Well, that wind is full of hot sparks and embers and smoke, all these things, which makes running in it, breathing in it, almost impossible. And then those embers hitting your clothes, lighting your clothes. I mean, it is absolutely scary what is going on. So our prayers are with you. And again, I believe as we see more and more of these things, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 24. And I believe we see perplexity among nations, problems with no way out. And, you know, that's one of the problems when people build 5 feet away from their neighbor. Their house burns down, it's going to catch your house on fire. It's going to catch the next house. And we see examples of this, whether we look at the 1906 California earthquake in San Francisco, where one building caught on fire, then the next one, or the Chicago fire at the turn of the century, of the previous turn of the century, the 1900, 1890, whatever it was. And you see that these become more and more of an issue. So scary times we live in. Now, going back to the phones, we had Carlos on the line talking about, I believe, Carlos, our support of Israel. Oftentimes, sometimes when we are tweaked by the American news. Now, you have to understand, everybody, the American news media will not tell the truth. We're seeing it more and more. Many of these far left news organizations are actually going out of business because they lied to the American public so much. Now, nobody trusts them. They said right now, only 8% of the American populace believes the news. That's pretty low ratings. I think the only thing lower than that is the current administration in the White House. But when you stop to look at how they distort things. Now, I listened to one educational national public voice. I won't say the letters. But I was listening to the returns on November 5th as the people were reporting the Electoral College count, as they were reporting the popular vote. And one of the commentators said, I guess the American people don't care about democracy anymore. That remark, and to think these guys get public funding, that remark was so outrageously evil. Because if you have an election and somebody wins, they do care about democracy. But what they have done, and this is what the far left has done, so you understand this. When you hear any of these mainstream medias talk about Trump's against democracy, they have interchanged the word democracy with communism. Trump's against communism. The people of America are tired of this government shoving their regulations down everybody's throat. That's what communism does. I guess the people of America don't care about communism anymore. You got that right. but they've changed the words. See, this is the same thing the cults do. You get into these different cults, they use the words heaven, hell, Jesus, Heavenly Father, salvation, with completely, completely different meanings. And this is what the left has done. They have now substituted the name communism for democracy. And so when you hear it, so you understand the tricks that the American news media is doing, it really helps us better understand how much of the lies that we are all being told. I said all that to say this, Carlos. The reporting out of the Middle East and what goes on there is all distorted. Israel was attacked. They lost thousands of people. They took their hostages. The people of the Gaza Strip voted in Hamas as their government. There are consequences for voting in bad government. I think we've all experienced that over the last 4 years. We see all these things that are a direct result of what bad leadership does, and Hamas is bad leadership. Now, again, remembering that Israel still has not gotten some of all of their hostages back. They killed many of them, but they still haven't gotten them all back. They could eliminate a lot of these attacks right now, but they're militant and they're not going to lay down their arms. And when we hear the news, we don't hear about how many times the farmers in below the Golan Heights in Syria are shelled as they're out there doing their farming, you know, planting their crops, until Israel finally says enough's enough. And then they retaliate with a missile attack, not only on the Golan, but farther into Syria to stop them from doing that. But does the American news media tell everybody about how Israel is shelled daily? No. It's because our news media is anti-Semitic. And as long as they continue to do this, and as long as they can dupe the American people, because they're part of the destruction of America, remember that. Well, I guess people just don't care about democracy anymore. No, we don't care about communism anymore. I think we're all sick up and fed with all the lies. The transgenderism, a guy putting a dress on and competing in women's sports and then stealing their sponsorships or their ability to go to college because they're bigger, stronger, and they can do that. To take somebody's, their ability to go to college away just because you put on a dress. Friends, this is America's sick of it. And I think this is why there wasn't one, I don't know of one, John, Democratic county in the United States, Republican county that went Democrat, but there were hundreds of counties that were Democrat that went Republican. Now, I'm not saying Republicans have the answer. I got problems with the Republican Party as well. But what I'm saying is when your party comes out and says, we are for the abortion of children clear up to the time they're born, we are for taking the children that survive the abortion issues, and we're going to chop off all their genitals and we're going to chop them up. And because after all, this six-year-old child thinks he's a boy and he's a girl. Or the other way around, listen, nine-year-old kids, six-year-old kids would eat hot fudge sundaes morning, noon, and night. They don't know what they are. And yet, when a six-year-old can determine the permanent damage that these idiots will inflict on these poor kids, America's fed up with them. And again, the same American news media that misreports what's going on in the Middle East is the same news media that has misled all of America. John, your thoughts?
Well, that was quite a lot. I don't know that I could add to that, Mike. You covered a lot. It's true. Things aren't always as they should be in the media lies.
Or what they appear to be. Yeah,
exactly. I just thinking about, you know, Carlos, the difference between Jews and Zionists, which seems to to be kind of what you, I believe you were referring to. And, you know, when you think of Zionism, it's a political movement in one sense that has become more of an ideology. But, you know, Zionism goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15. God made a covenant with Abraham and he promised that land to their descendants. And so people who would be considered Zionists believe that the Jews have a right to be an independent state, and that land that was promised to them is theirs. And that makes sense because that's what the Bible says. And so sometimes Christians get, I would say, thrown in with, they would call it Christian Zionism, which is basically saying we support Israel's right to its land based upon the promises that are found in the Bible. And so I think that's something to keep in mind. I think sometimes people want to say, "Oh, you're a Zionist," as if that's a bad thing. And I think it's depending on whose definition. But as a Christian, I would say, yes, I support Israel, and I believe that that land was promised to them because God said it's an everlasting covenant. And so making that distinction, I think, is important for us to have a better understanding as it relates to your question, the Jews and versus Zionism there.
Okay, Carlos, so we covered a little bit of that. Now, is there more to your question that you had?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Yes, I understand and I agree with all the you guys said. I completely agree wholeheartedly. Like I said, I will defend the right of Israel to defend themselves to myself. The thing is, I agree that the news are not the right thing every way, but I'm trying to be like the Bereans, you know, trust but verify, really, really look into more other outputs and more other news feeds to make sure that what's going on. And like I said, I'll defend Israel. But at the same time, it is like in the old times, the good kings of Israel and the bad kings of Israel, which I know and you guys know that there were more bad kings of Israel. And I just want to make sure that we're not supporting and aiding and abetting a bad king of Israel. That's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I know that Israel, that's the land of Israel, and I know it has the right to defend itself. But I guess Zionism is also good since the beginning. But I guess as a political movement, it's recently and the way they are acting. That's what, I mean, 1,200 people they took, Hamas took, and now there's been killed more than 50,000 people that maybe or may not be Hamas. So I understand what you're saying, but at the same time...
Well, real quickly, just to interject right here, when Pearl Harbor was bombed December 7, 1941, it killed, I forget how many, 4,000 American servicemen. But that pales in literally the hundreds of thousands that died after that. War is not pretty. But when you start a war, you got to be prepared for the consequences. And it doesn't matter whether it was one Israeli that was killed in regards to all those that have died, or whether there was 1,400 or 14,000 or 140,000. When you start a war, there's consequences. And for some idea, the American news media thinks it's tit for tat. In other words, well, you kill one of ours, so we'll kill one of yours. That's not the way war works. And usually when somebody does something like this, their entire country is annihilated. So it isn't just, well, you kill 1,400 of ours, so, well, you know, we'll just double it, 2,800, and then we'll stop. No, that's not the way that works. You started a war, and we'll finish the war. And we'll finish it to the point where there is nothing left of you. That is the danger of war. And for some reason, we in America or the world has sanitized it so it's just one for one, you know, eye for eye. No, that may be when it comes to a personal level. But when it comes to a nation, and again, Pearl Harbor, 1941, we didn't just go in and kill, several thousand Japanese, on one of their islands. No, we were out. And the problem is, everyone, if Japan had not surrendered after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when those two atomic bombs were dropped on them, there would have been literally tens of millions of people civilians that would have died because America was getting ready to invade the island of Japan. And we knew that would be a very, very costly endeavor. And when Japan realized that they had nothing that would match the power of atomic bomb, they stopped. They didn't know. Maybe they thought that we had thousands of these bombs. We didn't. We only had a couple. And had they known we only had a couple, they may have dug their heels in. We don't know. The danger is when you start a war and you lose a war, there are severe consequences in so much you lose everything. And this, for some reason, in our screwed up American news media mindset, thinks that, well, we the American news media, will determine when enough is enough. Nope. It doesn't work that way, American news media. The country that's attacked will decide that. And again, when you go in and you, and the a lot of what infuriated Israel was the barbarity of what happened to their people. They came in, they would hand tie the moms and the fathers. They would put their babies in an oven and turn the oven on and listen to their baby screaming as it's being cooked to death. And they're sitting there laughing about it. Oh yeah. All on video, all on your little YouTube cameras that they had on their head to, you know, and they deprived the American public of seeing these things, but they're out there. And it just infuriated them. So man, they viewed them as animals. They're not human. They're animals. You know, you don't like somebody, shoot their military. Oh, no. The big, brave Hamas comes after babies. Oh, yeah. You're something I really want to have everybody look up to. Israel just took them out. And you've got to realize how serious this really is. And let me tell you, friends, when you look at what the book of Revelation says in chapter 6, when the fiery red horse goes out on the earth when the Antichrist is bringing the world under his one world order. Now, he goes out initially, white horse, bow with no arrows, to unite the world diplomatically. Those that don't capitulate, the fiery red horse goes out. And that's where the Bible tells us 1/4 of the world's population dies in the very first part of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, that's absolute. You can look it up. You can see it yourself. And then by the time the Antichrist is done wreaking havoc on this world, about 2/3 of the world's population is dead. So when you realize these consequences, and especially with the weapons people now possess, you know, a well-armed, what was the old saying one time concerning humans? It says an armed society is a polite society. You know, I don't think you'd have a lot of people flipping people off on the freeway because they made a left-hand turn in front of you or whatever if they knew that person had a gun. An armed society is a polite society. Well, an armed nation needs to be a polite nation. But when they're attacked, you're going to see repercussions. And I believe this is why not. And then here's the rest of this. As they went more into Hamas, they found out where all these weapons are coming from Iran. And then they find out that Iran is getting their money from the lifted oil sales. See, Trump put embargoes on Iran so they couldn't sell their oil. Well, the current administration took those injunctions away. So now they could sell oil. Now they had this glut of money and they could buy the weapons to supply Hamas and the Houthis and everybody else in the Middle East. They're the major exporter of terror in the world is Iran. Now, again, to understand this, war is not fair. War is not pretty. It's awful. I think God hates it. But again, when we understand the magnitude of this, I hope that people understand how badly America has been lied to by the American news media. Carlos, I hope that helps. You there, Carlos?
Yeah, there you are. Understand. Yes, and I'm just asking for a prayer for people that don't understand exactly what's going on to make sure to be all the points of view to get it. I agree with you, and I'm learning more day by day. I listen to you on my work and my earphones, so I never miss an opportunity to learn about God's word. And at the same time, just ask for a prayer for the people that just not set up on one idea, but really ask God to reveal the truth of what's going on, and not only just set us to be ourselves thinking that what we think is the right thing and is the truth. No, we have to ask God to show us what is the truth, because we may be on the wrong side of truth. So I will appreciate that. Thank you very much for answering my call.
Well, you know, Carlos, that's true. But when I see what's really going on, it wasn't Israel went in and put their babies in ovens and took hostages and attacked a peaceful nation. So I know we're not on the wrong side. The wrong side is the aggressor. And when they're beaten back, now all of a sudden Israel's the bad guy. Well, listen, they don't want this happening over and over and over again. Ever since 1948, Israel routinely has been attacked by the Arabs all the time, almost within every 2 years, whether it's the Six Day War, no matter what it is, they're always being, and Israel is trying to bring a resolve. Look, if you attack us, it's going to hurt so bad, you probably won't exist anymore. See, actually, by international law, by warfare, the Six Day War, Israel could have taken Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, all those, there were seven states that came against Israel, and they lost. It was only because Srebrenica, Russia's emissary, went to Kissinger with a message that said, unless you stop Israel from taking over the entire Middle East, we will bomb Israel. And so Kissinger then put pressure on our government and on Israel, saying, hey, look, this is going to turn into a complete world war if we don't all back down. So Israel backed down and only kept the land that was pertinent to their security, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, and the Sinai Peninsula and Gaza Strip. They gave back to Egypt as a goodwill measure the Sinai Peninsula. They said, here, this is get back to you. You know, you did wrong, and they gave it back. They kept, though, the Gaza Strip. They kept, and then they gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. Israel said, every time we give land to the Palestinians, they use it for missile bases, and we're not going to do this anymore. And so they crossed the line, and when they did, this is what's brought us up to this point. Hope that helps, and hope that explains it to everyone. Carlos, you're welcome to stay in line, send you out some books and DVDs, and let's go to Jeff in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, welcome. Looking for Jeff. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How can we help?
Yes, I got married under duress about 9 months ago. I was in a relationship with a Christian girl, and it was basically online. And anyways, I got engaged, and then I spent time with her and broke off the engagement. And a year went by, and we got back together. Anyways, I married her under duress. We had planned the wedding for April 6th, and my brother died a couple of days before that, and went to the funeral. The funeral was on Thursday, and I just said, hey, I'm stressed. I'm not sleeping. I don't have any peace. Let's just postpone this. And I had some brothers that I love kind of convince me otherwise, and unfortunately, I did call the wedding off, and I felt peace. But then I was pressured, don't leave her at the altar. Anyways, I married her. I had a nervous breakdown at the wedding, and I ended up in the psych ward. And I've been on meds now for 9 months, and I'm just tormented. I used to love the Lord. I've been ministering for like 25 years, and I just, it's like I married her, and I know that God did not want me to. And now I've just been a train wreck.
Well, we're almost out of time, Jeff. John, your thoughts on this and maybe a quick prayer. Well,
yeah, that's a lot to take in, Jeff. I would encourage you, if you have a pastor.
Yeah, you need to be with your pastor.
You know, I would get to a church. I mean, 30 seconds doesn't allow me to address the issue. But I would say you need to get with your pastor, sit down, pray, get some counsel, and really work through this, have somebody walk you through this, because there's so many more details to this that would need to be considered. But Jeff, let me pray for you, as Mike said. Father, we lift up Jeff to you right now, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would provide him with the counsel that he needs, Lord, in order that he might make the right decision concerning his marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, there's a lot of ingredients there, and Jeff, that's why John recommended you to go see your local pastor, because there's a lot to sort out, a lot of ingredients.
Right.
And, you know, anytime you get married, it's a big change. And then if you've had a lot of other trauma, it makes it hard. So go get some good counsel. Stay online if you like, send you out some books and DVDs. We're all out of time, everybody. William, Jill, please, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll call you, or you can call us, and we'll answer your question for you. John, thanks so much for being on. What a different day today was. But, you know, we just got to know the truth about what's going on in Israel. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
Toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.